A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. That is how Jesus begins a story to describe the kingdom of God. Jesus tells this story to explain what was happening during his time in Judea, because he had come to Judea as the Lord's Christ. He had come preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. And he is announcing that the prophetic statements made about the Lord's Christ were being fulfilled by him. That announcing of that took him to all sorts of places, because that announcement was to go out pretty much everywhere. In fact, it even takes him to a house of a Pharisee, where Jesus is invited to be a dinner guest. Now, at that dinner, after speaking about behaviors at banquets, and after speaking about the blessedness of inviting outcasts to come to banquets, Jesus receives a comment from one of the other dinner guests. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Well, Jesus' parable that we heard is his response to that comment. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Who will those blessed people be? That's what Jesus' story begins to reveal. And it begins to reveal that it's not the group of people that most of Jesus' fellow dinner guests at that Pharisee's house thought the group would be. Instead, some very surprising people would eat bread in the kingdom of God and be blessed by it. So let's consider Jesus' parable. It starts again, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And this was an act of generosity by the one who was holding this banquet. Not only was he providing food, he extended invitations not just to a handful of people, but to many people to participate. The man wanted a great banquet, not only in quality, but also in quantity. That is, he wanted an event with both fine food to eat, but also a multitude of guests present. And this depicts the Lord, who had invited an entire nation to receive his benefits, which the Lord had done by calling the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his people. And he promises great benefits to them. But what happened in the story that Jesus told? Well, the man informs his invited guests that the great banquet was about to begin. But the invited guests choose not to attend. As Jesus says, at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. Not only are excuses made, they don't seem to line up with reality. The first said to him, "I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I've married a wife, so I can't come." Jesus' story depicts the behavior of Israelites throughout time, even and maybe even more especially during his presence in the world. What kept people from heeding the Lord's invitation to be part of the kingdom of God now that everything was ready? Well, there were all sorts of reasons, but we can summarize them. We can summarize at least some of them as they happened in history. In fact, when we read the Old Testament prophets and what they said about the people, we can identify several of the reasons why people would not heed the invitation. There were people who got swept up with the concerns of the world, chasing after wealth or other earthly goods, and that occupied their hearts and minds. We also read how others united themselves to foreign deities. Recall how the scriptures, including those prophets, describe idolatry as marriage to other spouses or even adultery. That's the language used to describe idolatry. And when those became the main concerns and pursuits of the people, then they didn't respond to the Lord's invitations brought to them by the Lord's servants. And it's not just what happened in time. It's also what stood true when the Lord sent his Christ into the world. Because the same excuses start to be given when Jesus shows up as were given centuries earlier, before he appeared. And so how does the man react to the news that his invited guests don't want to come to his banquet? Well, Jesus tells us in the story, the man has two reactions. He's angry at the invited guests. That's one of the reactions. But the other is that the man ensures that his great banquet does indeed take place, and it has people attending it. So the servant came, reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And what Jesus describes there is a depiction of the Lord's actions, especially when his Christ was present in the world. Think about what many of you have already learned quite well about Jesus' ministry as you read about it in the Gospels. Who were the individuals who received his message? Who were many of the avid hearers of the good news of the kingdom of God? Who were among Jesus' most frequent guests? They were the poor and crippled and blind and lame, just like the man in Jesus' story had his servant find and invite to the great banquet. And sometimes, as we read in the Gospels, they were literally the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. As we hear about the sick and the afflicted who would be brought to Jesus for healing. But other times, those categories could also describe the spiritual condition of the people. Like those sinners and tax collectors that we hear so much about in the narratives of Jesus' life, the ones who came flocking to him. But we also heard that the man in Jesus' story wasn't content with just having the poor and crippled and blind and lame brought to his banquet. He also wanted more. He wanted his entire house filled with banqueters. As the servant says to him, "Sir, what you commanded has been done. We got those people you wanted, and there's still room." And what does the man tell his servant? Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." And those words that Jesus tells in his story, they begin to depict the actions that would take place when the Lord Christ completed his work in the world. It's a way of pointing to the Gentile mission that had just initially started during Jesus' ministry, but would begin in earnest after his death and burial and resurrection and ascension. Those guests replaced the ones who had been previously invited, just as the man in Jesus' story declares, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." This story of Jesus outlines the history of how expansion of the kingdom of God unfolded, and it is very good for us to be aware of that as we see it described in the Acts of the Apostles or in extra scriptural histories of the church. How we also see how the letters written by Christ's apostles also speak about that kingdom of God expanding to all sorts of places that many people in Judea would have never thought would be part of the kingdom of God. But Jesus' story also has a present-day teaching aspect beyond describing his work in Judea and the aftermath of his redemptive actions. Because the question can be asked in our day about how we are responding to the invitation that has come to us to be part of that great banquet that the Lord is providing. We can extend Jesus' story because we have been invited to the Lord's banquet. His servants bring the announcement, "Come, everything is now ready." In fact, that's how we got to know what love is, as the Apostle John wrote in today's epistle reading, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." Everything has been made ready because of that. The Lord Christ came into the world and he accomplished salvation for us fallen humans through his atoning work. As he himself would say after it was done, "It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And that has happened. He has died. He has been buried. He has been raised to life again. He has ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that Jesus has authorized the power to forgive sins to be used. How? That repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. Where? To all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's how the invitation to be part of the great banquet came to us, as Jesus' story vividly depicts. When the master said to his servant, "Go to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." But as we hear that, we can ask the questions. Are we being compelled to come in? Do we act positively on that invitation? Or do we make excuses why we won't come? And you might be sitting in the pews and saying, "Pastor, that's a strange question to ask people at church." And in fact, there's some truth to that. Because your presence here indicates a positive response to the Lord's invitation. Otherwise, why would you be here? But we can still ask some other questions about our participation. Are we doing so with frequency and constancy? Is it a common occurrence to be here on Sundays or other times when the Lord brings his gifts to his people? Or do we find that to be more of a, 50-50 proposition? Or even worse? That is, do we find ourselves making repetitive and recurring excuses not to be present? Now, we might not give the same excuses as the ones we heard in Jesus' story about buying a field and needing to go out and see it, or buying 5 yoke of oxen and needing to examine them, or marrying a wife and that's why I can't go anywhere. But are the concerns of this world or other spiritual allegiances, are they impeding positive responses to the Lord's invitation? Well, if so, then we are encouraged by his story to begin to remove those obstacles. Because we don't want to end up in the group that received the man's wrath. We don't want to end up in the group that got described by the man in the story. I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my banquet. Today's Old Testament reading from Proverbs was another place where banquet language was used to speak about what the Lord invites us to partake of. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She had mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Receiving Christ's words of life brings those benefits to the people who respond to the invitation that his servants issue. It's what the Lord wants us to obtain. What he wants you to obtain. But the book of Proverbs also speaks about another type of banquet that is offered. It wasn't included in today's Old Testament reading, but if you read the book of Proverbs, it follows right after where our reading left off. Where the author of Proverbs also says, the woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he doesn't know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. That type of banquet is not provided by the Lord, but it's offered. It's offered by the Lord's competitors, including those who seek to attract our attention and our focus, particularly in spiritual matters. And we are warned against heeding those invitations or making that banquet of folly and death the more important events on our calendars rather than heeding the invitation that the Lord issues. So as we apply Jesus' parable, we should recall the Lord's generosity that Jesus described. That even in the midst of rejection by the first invited guests, the man intentionally acts so that his great banquet will indeed have attendees. He will have guests. He sends the servants out to the streets of the city, bringing in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. He sends them out to the highways and hedges, and he has them compel people to come in, so that his house might be filled. He does so because the Lord wants people to be recipients of his generosity. In fact, the Lord wants us to be recipients of his generosity. And his invitation is issued for us to receive those benefits, his benefits. And he ensured that invitation came to us who live far away from Judea and who even live far in time from the days that Jesus walked the roads of Judea and sat in people's houses at their dinners. That intentionality was shown to us. Squandering it for what anyone else could offer would be true folly, as Jesus' story declares. There is a blessedness. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And that will be given to those who act on his invitation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.